Blog
All right.
Talk Radio.
Seems like technical difficulties. Nothing but technical difficulties. Damn it. Okay. Anyway, tonight's show's beginning was screwed up. Anyway, I'm way off track now. And I'm the only one in here. Okay. Well, so much for a grand goodbye and all that. But tonight, Dashboard Outlaw's last and final show got technical difficulty out of its grand goodbye, if that's what you want to say. Anyway.
Well,
hang on now. Hang on. I'm still scatterbrained here. Okay. Let me get Thomas Mick in here. 347-855-8301. Anyway.
I just Matthew, didn't know that it's up.
Yeah. Okay, there's Thomas Mick. Okay. All right, let's bring him in. Hey, Thomas.
How you doing, Earl?
All right, man. I called the host number because nothing will happen until somebody called it.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I tried
calling it several times, man. If one of
you
are set on
some
Facebook,
people calling in, you know, it ain't going to happen. And now I got Karen Marie calling me. Oh, Lord. What a day.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people
hang on.
Who wanted to listen to the show tonight. Huh?
Yeah. Hang on. Let me answer, and I'll be right back.
All right. Somebody could call my Facebook page or go to my Facebook page and put a notice up there that show's on, because the last note I gave.
Okay, one sec. Let me see.
All right, I'm back.
All right. Anyhow, the opening of this show was totally screwed. But, hey, I guess we did it anyhow.
We still need to get a notice out there for an update for Charles Dyer. If he's going to call.
She's called in right now. She's on the line.
Excellent.
And I have also called Gail and Karen to let them both know that you said that you would allow them to come and do their updates. Let's bring her in here. Gail bailed on us. She went on to bed, so she won't be coming on tonight.
Okay.
Karen, you're live, babe.
Hey. Well, Earl, I'm glad that you got to do the show tonight. And I'm
it was totally screwed up with the technical difficulties, man. It just takes your gusto out of your kabang, you know what I mean?
Well, it'll be all right.
All right. So what we got going on with Charles?
Nothing new. We're still waiting to hear something from OCCA. He's doing okay. He really wants to come home. I don't know if you can imagine that or not.
Yeah,
I can.
You know, little things. I don't have, anything big or any big news. Just, you know, little things like cooling off at night.
What about all the militias and the Oath Keepers that come to storm the castle and bring them home? Don't you have anything to tell us about all those people that showed up to help him?
What planet are you on, Earl?
Surely you jest, Earl.
The same planet that I thought that there was going to be hundreds of truckers coming this time from all the work that not just only I did, but all those people that told me on Facebook that they printed out that flyer and they were out there helping me pass the flyers out to trucks truckers and looking them in their eyes and telling them that their country needs them. That's the planet I'm living on. So I'm figuring, since I had all this help and all these truckers showed up at the 9/11 rally, that there must have been thousands of militias and Oath Keepers and 3%ers there to help you get Charles back, right?
Damn, Earl. You get better and better and more fluent in sarcasm every time I talk to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's also interspersed with a great deal of disappointment because... Because the spirit of 76 seems to have turned into the spirit of 1984.
Absolutely. And, you know, Earl, at this point, you know, I don't take it lightly anymore. But, you know, we've talked and, you know, sometimes you just got to find the funny in the situation. Otherwise, you're going crazy. Because it shouldn't be this hard. It really should not be this hard to convince people to give a damn about themselves and then to actually, you know, do something proactive to help themselves. It's mind-boggling.
Well, I'll tell you what, Karen, and anybody that listens to this show tonight or any other night, I have only one thing to say. You want to be patriots. You're a bunch of cowards, you're Facebook warriors, and you're a bunch of pussies. Because if you can't get out from behind that computer and your nose out of that stinking phone long enough to get out there and put boots on the ground and at least show people some respect and help, I only have one thing left to say to you.
I see your camel toes, your biscuits, your beavage. I see your cooter cleavage, your monkey, your muffin. You ain't had it nothing. Your Gucci, your flapper, you're showing off your snapper. Your camel toe.
I get the point across.
I don't know.
You might want to put it out there in Braille. Some probably still won't get it.
Put it out in Braille. That was good. I like that. Anyway.
I get to wondering if the people in this country, when the Muzzies do start attacking, if they're just going to march out in their front yard, kneel down, and just wait for the axe.
Well, that's the whole thing I've been saying all along, Thomas. Is what do they think? That these people are just going to march down their street and they're going to be able to sit there on their front porch and pick them off? No. What they're going to do is they're going to put up their hands and say, I don't want to break the law. And they're going to drop their weapons and then they're going to be taken away and beheaded for not taking the mark of the beast.
That's it. Well, Earl, if you can't get people to care about themselves, how are you going to get them to care about someone else? I mean, that's what drives each and every one of us that comes on here and talks and is actively trying to do something. Is that it's that care not just for yourself, not even just for your children, but for the next American that you pass on the street. You know, and until people can quit being so damn selfish and worry about distractions and pleasures and really care about themselves, then they're not going to get involved. They're not going to take that step. They're not going to get involved in the movement, any part of the movement, in any effort anybody else has going on. And they're most certainly not going to put their attention to people who are fighting battles. You know, they don't want to see that. They just want to see the reality TV show that they can flip on and turn off whenever it strikes their fancy. Being a patriot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lifestyle. It's not a fashion accessory. It's not a TV show that you can turn on and off. It's the way you live your life.
You're right. But, you know, I bitched and whined there because of the people that did not show up when they said they would show up. I took the time to do that. Now let me take the time to praise the people that came. Bill Williams, he did a good job. He kept his word. Gail Whitright, she was there. She spent her own money, just like I did, on that damn parking lot, just to get down there and fly down there and a hotel and all that stuff. But she was there. And that woman's 70 years old. And she's still doing more than all these younger people are doing. Belinda B. and her group, they were there. They did their thing. They put a wreath on the unknown soldier's grave. They did everything they could. Now, Karen Marie, in spite of feeling ill, she was up early, and she was out promoting that on Facebook because she could not physically be there, but she was there helping promote that, and she was helping promote the live stream. She was at least doing something. So
yeah, I really wish I could have done more. no kudos here, Earl. I got
to
get better. I'm tired of feeling as useless as tits on a boar hog.
I got
for all those that don't get that a boar is a male hog, therefore they don't need tits to nurse the young. Just throwing that out there. There might be some city people listening. You never know.
Okay. So anyhow, just for the listeners that may listen later or come in later and listen, this is the last show for the Dashboard Outlaw. From this day on, it is restoring America to liberty, and your host will be Thomas Mick, the one and only. However, before I turn this over to Thomas Mick 100%, I have to say, week after week, I've always made sure that Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa and Leap here were all thanked for their contributions to giving me this show. But today, I got to thank my number one fan. This fan has never missed a show. She was here every time. And that's my beautiful, supportive wife, Linda Conlon. So, before we get turning this show over, I have to give her my last and final on-air public serenade. Bear with me, folks.
I miss the look of surrender in your eyes, the way your soft brown hair would fall. I miss the power of your kiss when we made love. Oh, but baby, most of all, I miss my friend, one my heart and soul confided in, the one I felt the safest with, the one who knew just what to say to make me laugh again, and let the light back in again. I miss my friend. Miss the colors that you brought into my life, your golden smile, those blue-green eyes. And I miss your gentle voice in lonely times like now, saying it'll be alright. I miss my friends, one my heart and soul confided in, the one I felt the safest with, the one who knew just what to say to make me laugh again, let the light back in. I miss my friends. I miss those times, I miss those nights, I even miss our silly fights, the making up, the morning talks, and those late afternoon walks. I miss my friends, the one my heart and soul confided in, the one I felt the light back in. I miss my friends. I miss my friends. I miss my friends.
That song was for my number one fan, and now, Mr. Thomas Mick, this is officially your show. Anybody else on the line besides me?
I'm here, Earl.
All righty. Well, anyway.
I'm here too, bro. And you have a caller
all
on 214.
Yes, you do, and it's Thomas Mick's show. Do you want this caller brought in? You got a minute and 13 seconds for commercial break.
Well, that can't be right.
What's that?
Time to commercial is stream
13
left.
Seconds. Yeah. I don't know. 13 minutes? Yeah, 13 minutes. Don't ever trust Earl with numbers.
I was just saying, anyway. You got an hour and 13 minutes of show left.
All right. I think Thomas Mick went to the bathroom while the song was playing. 214, your mic is hot. Hello, 214.
Okay, I'm back on.
214. Hey, Thomas Mick, you back?
Yeah, I muted my mic while I was munching my dinner.
Oh, yeah, I'm sitting here giving you the show back, man. I said that now that I've made my song for my number one fan, and now it's officially your song, I opened up the mic for number 214, but they ain't said nothing yet.
Well, they may just want to. Did they have their hand up?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
they did.
Good. Well, to start out the show, I probably should explain what I'm about for those folks that haven't already heard me on your show. My name is Thomas Mick. And to be honest, I don't consider myself as anything special. I've never held political office. I have no aspirations to be a movie star. And to be honest, I don't even have, other than getting out my message and fulfilling my mission, I have no aspirations of being a radio star. Well, I like prospecting in rivers. I really enjoy standing for gold in a river in the middle of nowhere with just the sound of the birds and the stream, and nothing better to me.
I've done that before, Dutch Flats, California.
Oh, you understand then what I'm talking about. It's
mm-hmm.
I really enjoy it. It's one of those things that I would much rather be doing than trying to restore freedom for future generations, but I have to. Anybody that cares about their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and their great-great-grandchildren, well, freedom has been stolen from them. And if this generation, of which I'm a member, I'm 59 years old, and if my generation dies, then I believe it'll be the last generation that has enough knowledge about our history and our republic, it will really reduce the odds of restoring the American Republic. So I can't go work the streams as much as I'd like. I can't. I have put my life on hold with my family and my children, and I am trying desperately to alert enough people, get them off their butts, and get out there and take their country back, because it's been stolen from them. It isn't the country you think it is, or at least the people that are in my generation, that they still under the illusion that we're still under the Constitution, and that all we have to do is elect the right people and, you know, put in enough petitions. We see now how that goes, Earl.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. And that's what it is. It's just a big illusion. And as long as you go and vote for their candidate and show your support, they at least know that they still have you under that illusion.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, they I call it the dog and pony show. Every 2 years, the House has to go up for re-election, and they all pander to the voters, and they pretend that, oh, well, you know, I kind of messed up the last time, but this time I'll do better, you know. Besides, I've got tenure. I've been there a long time. I know what I'm doing. So, you know, send me back to Congress. And then you got the newbies that go in there, and they're all full of ideals and making great speeches that everybody wants to hear. And then they get into the district. And while I can't absolutely prove this, I would love to have someone step up and actually confirm it, but I suspect that every freshman congressman that goes to the district gets a visit, and well, let's call it an orientation that explains about the benefits of playing ball and not rocking the boat and doing what you're told by the leadership, or else, well, you know, unpleasant things happen to people all the time. Accidents, you know, loans get denied, and people get denied operations, you know, or there's all kinds of things that can happen to people. It's just amazing. And, you know, this bureaucracy is so huge, you know, no representative can, you know, stay on top of all of it. So, in other words, the people that go there honestly, that want to make a change, soon discover that that's not possible, because the bureaucracy that starts at City Hall is supporting the corruption that they were sent there to fight. So from City Hall, the county commissioners, the sheriff's department that enforces usurpacious laws, all the way up to the District of Columbia, you go through every single division of political power in America, and you have the influence of the bankers and the oligarchy.
That's right. And the
now, there's one thing that I differ with a lot of other people. I don't go into the Zionist conspiracy, and that's not because Jews, particularly the Rothschild family, are not involved in the oligarchy. They are. They are heavily represented, especially in PR, like Hollywood. There is no doubt about that. But see, I became a follower of Jesus in July of 1973, and it was shortly after that that the Spirit, you know, that comforter that God promised to give us, led me on this journey. And there's one place that kind of holds a sacred spot in my heart, and I believe it's the Spirit. It's not my physical heart. It's not the Thomas Mick that was out there partying and doing all the stuff I did back when I was a runaway, back in the early 70s. But in my heart now, and in my spirit, I have a very strong bond and attachment to Mount Zion, also known as Mount Moriah, which is presently occupied by an abomination called the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount.
Right.
So I cannot, in good conscience, sully the name of Zion with the corrupt, maniacal, psychopathic actions of a of a group of people who just happen to be Jews, okay? And I'm not talking about all Jewish people. But I just want to get that clear. And I really get in people's faces, not as much as I used to, but I really did at first, that just they can't help themselves. Everything's a Zionist conspiracy. I don't believe that. I believe there are Baptists,
yeah, I know.
Episcopalians. You know, I mean, these.
I had
there are
Stu
people
Webb
from every
on
creed.
My show once.
Yeah.
And Stu See, Webb, everything was the Israelis this and the Jews that, everything. I'm like, oh, man.
See, I don't buy into that. And you know, I respect their belief, their right to believe as they do. And I know they've done a lot of research about the Rothschild family and other Jews that have participated in this global oligarchy that is now running things. But I cannot ignore all of the other nationalities and creeds that are also involved in the oligarchy. And I have no hatred for the people of Israel, or, well, I prefer to call them the children of Israel. I have no hatred for them whatsoever. So I think that was a good thing to get out right at the beginning so people understand that.
Right.
About me. See, my core belief is natural law. And natural law...
I agree.
And when I follow and adhere to natural law, there is nothing about natural law that causes me to violate the spirit that's within me. So I see harmony in nature's law and nature's God, or the laws of nature and nature's God, as described in the Declaration of Independence. I don't see any conflict whatsoever. And I also believe, as our founders did, that if you worship according to the dictates of your conscience and you harm no one else, you have a right to worship according to the dictates of your conscience. So I am not against Buddhists. I am not against Hindus. I am not against any other body of religious thought. As long as they don't shove their beliefs down my throat and they don't harm other people. So if they're followers of Kelly, if they're followers of Muhammad, or if they're followers of Satan, well, that doesn't apply to them because they ritually murder innocent children. They behead people. They kill people for the joy of killing and satiating the bloodlust of their deity. So that kind of a religion is inconsistent with American principles. And I don't believe they're applied to the First Amendment of the Constitution. Well, that's another subject. We kind of touched on that, didn't we, Earl? About March 27th, 1861... not told to you by the public school system or anybody in the police academies or military training, ASVAB, you were not told that on March 27, 1861, when 11 southern states walked out of Congress, there was no longer a quorum to do business. Congress could no longer pass bills or acts or appropriations because the majority they needed to constitute a quorum was no longer present. And when they refused to let them secede, that created a constitutional crisis. But what really cinched our present predicament over time is that instead of Congress doing what it was told to do in the Constitution, which was to take a vote, determine if a quorum exists. If it doesn't exist,
then they needed to set another date to convene and adjourn. But they adjourned without setting another date, which is parliamentary law is called synodia, without day. And what they did by doing that was dissolve Congress as a lawful lawmaking body. Abraham Lincoln ruled by executive military rule. So since March 27, 1861, what we call the federal government in the District of Columbia has not been constrained by the Constitution and Bill of Rights. They have become a foreign entity to the United States because Congress
effectively... Take a pause right there, Thomas. It's commercial break time.
Okay.
So we'll come back to the what you just started saying there. Sorry, I didn't mean to have to interrupt you, but yeah, we're a few minutes over commercial break time. We'll be right back, folks.
Hi, friends. When it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or toriwebbdmi at gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's running like I never before.
Hey folks, this is the Mouth, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dadco Transportation. Family-owned and operated, Dadco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trap and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dadco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dadco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dadcotrans.com. That's DABCOTRANS.com.
But I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
You cannot rationalize and justify the abuse of liberty for the pretense that on occasion you might catch a criminal.
All right, everybody there in Radio Land. This is the Sonny Thomas Show here on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
I am known to be very concerned about the privacy of all Americans and am tenacious in protecting the privacy of everyone.
The march in D.C. with Ron Paul back in 2008, I was hobnobbing with liberals from Michigan. That's almost like a Southerner hanging with a Yankee. And one of the things that I find totally egregious is a certain parts of the justice system that are designed to totally ostracize people.
What if the federal government decided what time of day it is? What if the federal government made it a law that you had to change every clock in your house whenever it told you to do so?
Thinking of thing over, let's go, because I know some people are still watching. I've seen many cases where literally they say, well, we got a 90-day probationary period. 89th day, you're out the door. So they're
right.
Essentially a furnace into indentured servants, and I think that's totally wrong.
What if the government decided whom to enrich and whom to keep poor?
The Sonny Thomas Show, Thursday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emerges Radio Network.
Patriotic people that are saying, you know what, I've had enough of the CS, and I'm standing up and saying something about it.
We're going to be going kind of out there for sure. Is our first family a first family of clones? And the number one influence on our government here in the United States is AIPAC, which is a group funded by Zionist Israelis.
Unraveling the Matrix with Austin Cox. Saturday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emerges Radio Network.
All right, and we are back, and today we're saying goodbye to the Dashboard Outlaw. That would be me, and I will just be the outlaw. And Mr. Thomas Mick will be taking over this time slot, and his new show is called Restoring America to Liberty. And Thomas Mick is your host, and Mr. Mick, the rest of it's all up to you, brother.
Why, thank you, Earl. You know, one thing that I do want to do before this show is over is I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the devotion that you put in your show to get people off their asses and to act. I understand your frustration with the inaction of the people. And let's just pray that one of us guys out here that is doing this, finds that formula to get these people to stand up.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what my show has always been about, is getting people to action. It's never been about waking people up. I personally don't give a crap whether people are awake. If they ain't awake by now, they're willfully stupid or willfully asleep. I'm sorry, but where the hell are you living? Under a rock? Nothing to see what's going on here? I don't think I should have to waste my time trying to wake people up and turn sheep into sheep dogs. It just ain't going to happen.
No.
Can I throw in on that real quick?
Certainly.
There was even a period of time during which the Apostle Paul's, well, he wasn't the apostle yet, but during which he was blinded intentionally, even by the Spirit of the Lord himself, so that he could not see. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. Well, God is sovereign. I you know, whatever he does, the scripture says he's the potter and I'm the clay.
Even though we don't necessarily always understand it at the time, my point is that even those who are to become the elect, to use the biblical term, are blinded or diverted from his purpose for a time.
Well, yeah. We all, in my life, I've known the Lord since 73, so it's 42 years now. In my life, it has been a growing experience. When I first started going into churches, I kept getting this sense from the pastor and the leadership in the churches at that time that now that I was in Christ, I was a new creature and I should just know everything and, you know, just keep, you know, paying my tithes and coming in and getting out there saving souls. And it was all about that. And then I kept asking these embarrassing questions. I was asking these embarrassing questions about righteousness, because God laid it on my heart to hold our elected leaders to righteousness. And from my understanding at that time, I didn't know that the Constitution was set aside. The only thing I had to go on was the oath of office, because everybody that enters into government swears an oath of office. And they're not swearing that to us. They're swearing that to God. And from my reading of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and 5, it's not a good thing to vow to God and then not fulfill that vow. That's
okay.
A very bad thing.
All right, yeah, that's true. But I'd have to observe that Jesus said, I tell you, swear on nothing in heaven, for it is God's throne, nor on earth, for it is his footstool. Do you swear no oath at all, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
So,
and for a Christian to violate that, but once you do make a vow, say, you know, because the marriage ceremony in the Christian world, at one point, wasn't an oath to one another. They would both kneel before the altar, and they would make a vow to God. They didn't make vows to each other. They made vows to God. And that's why the church had jurisdiction in the marriage.
And that's the only vow that I see as being sanctioned by Jesus, you know, for Christians to adhere to, is the vow of marriage. Because he's, you know, he expounded on that in Matthew, I think, 19, where, you know, a man, you know, shall leave his wife and cleave, leave his family and cleave unto his wife. And then he goes into the divorce, or that's an answer to the divorce question. But, you know, that's the only vows I see Jesus from the other statement being giving credence to. It's not an oath,
to refrain,
it's a vow.
Yeah, refrain from making oaths. But once you do, and you don't obey that, and you do make an oath, there's a severe penalty for violating that oath. It is better that you not make that oath than you make the oath and not keep it. You pay what you promised. And if you don't pay what you promised, things are not going to go well for you. And our America has everybody that enters office makes an oath to God to support and defend the Constitution. Are they? See, as a newborn Christian, that was my big question there. These guys promise to do something very specific, and yet they treat that oath as if it's just a mere formality. They can literally wipe their butts with it when they walk away from the podium. So,
well, if by the time they're swearing that oath to defend the Constitution, are they aware that they're not actually swearing an oath to the Constitution based on natural law versus the Constitution based on corporate law?
Well, even the corporate Constitution, the Constitution that continued on after 1861, and that was carried on under military rule, and it carried on under corporate rule. And by that I mean any amendments that were added to it were done so under an unlawful government. And it was done mostly under a corporate government. After 1871, it was pretty much a corporate government. The bankruptcy in 1933, I'm probably talking about stuff some people don't know, but on March 9, 1933, the Emergency Banking Act was shoved down Congress's throat. And it was a bankruptcy of the United States government incorporated. Okay? Because the United States of America that existed, that was created in 1787 and passed by the states in 1789, that government ceased to exist in 1861. But I didn't know any of this. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even capable of accepting the truth of the loss of the Constitution until this year, because I first read the report on this in 1996 at Barefoot Bob's page, and it's on a Senate report that was conducted by the United States Senate. Well, the corporate Senate, but still, it was a quite honest assessment. With the,
We got a caller with their hand up, and I think I know who it is.
Okay.
All right, 720.
Hi, fellas. It's Liberty Lisa.
Hi, Liberty Lisa. Hey.
Aww,
how you doing,
so
honey?
To hear you're leaving our great network.
Well, I'm not actually leaving. I'm just not going to be a radio show host anymore. I'll be watching and listening and waiting. But Mr. Thomas Mick, he's the most qualified guy I could think of to take over and get this stuff right. He says everything I says. He just says it better.
Aww. Well, we're looking
if you put Thomas Mick and Earl Conlon together, Thomas Mick is the sophisticated, polished version of Earl Conlon, and I'm the redneck version of Thomas Mick.
Well, that works. That works.
That's a great way to put that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad that Liberty Lisa graces my show. She was the part of my very first show.
And she's a part of my very first show.
Aww.
Oh, that works. Wow.
Continuity.
Well, you know, I love Earl. He's a real true blue, dyed-in-the-wool patriot, and he loves his country. He loves his fellow man, and, you know, he really wants to see the right thing being done, and I know it's hard for him. I've watched him over, you know, the last year or so, and it's just hard for him to see the nation go down the tubes as it has, and to see people not rise up and do something about it. So I think it's good, you know, maybe sometimes to step aside and see the way other people can handle things. I know we've got some major crises coming our way in the near future, and we'll definitely need all of our minds on board to try to manipulate the turbulent waters ahead.
Yes. As a matter of fact, this month is going to be particularly interesting. But I don't think the guy on the street's not going to really feel the effects of what happens at the end of this month. Until later when the effects get pushed down to the local level. And then I'm really curious as to whether I'm going to do my best to get them off their asses before the effects of this month hit them. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of laying the groundwork by talking about this 1861 at this point, because once people realize that cancer, that boil that's called the District of Columbia, you know, that cesspool that's sitting over there that used to be a swampland that needs to revert back to it, that is not the capital of the Republic of the United States of America. It is not. It is a foreign entity. It's just like France or Spain or the Vatican or Italy. It is a foreign country, a city-state. And everybody still treats it like it's the federal government, like it has anything to say within the state of California or the state of New York or any other state in the union, and it doesn't.
Scarier yet, you know, we seem to be abiding by the rules that they're trying to enforce on constitutional mandates like Obamacare and you know, things like, the Supreme Court is now ruling that they can forcefully take your blood. They can forcefully take your blood from your body at any trial,
you know,
for any reason.
You know, Lisa,
when Rome fell was just after the courts got apathetic towards the politicians' agenda. So we're seeing that happening all over again because the courts are ruling shit like cops don't need to know the Fourth Amendment and they don't need the warrants and now this blood stuff. How much more is going to happen before the people start saying, okay, these people with the badges and the black robes, they are our enemy. We need to start doing something.
So, well, that's the point I'm trying to make. See, Liberty Lisa, the Supreme Court of the United States as it exists today is nothing more than the legal department of the oligarchy. They are the legal department of the United States government incorporated.
You're talking to somebody who I have several appeals going right now. I have like 8 court cases. I've tried the correct way and the legal way and the right way according to their terms. I've played the game, and I played it well.
Do you see that it's not working, though? It's really not working?
Of course I can see that. I can see that plain as day, and that's when I started realizing that a lot of the people that I was talking to about sovereignty and that whole situation were actually on the right track. And all along, and that this is all about personal versus private and establishing yourself correctly, you know, in this mess that we're in right now, and then trying to navigate through it as best you can. But we're due for a crash. I mean, this thing's it's just set up to fail. There's no way it can sustain.
No.
Well,
mathematically, the debt is, and I what I assert is that the United States, because this debt was created by politicians in contravention of our will, which is expressed in the Constitution, for programs that aren't authorized by the Constitution for the most part, that we should repudiate that debt because it is based on fraud. None of that debt should be paid by the American people. As a matter of fact, we should be confiscating the estates and all assets of the banks that have committed this fraud and set up accounts like birth certificate account, trust accounts you ever heard of those things? And compensate the American people for their investment like in the Bonneville Dam, the Hoover Dam, and all of these capital investments that were made by under the public venue, and we should get that power free because that is
I'm kind of in the middle right now of deciding where I'm standing on these issues as far as do we reboot the government as it stands and go back to the original organic constitution, or do we just start the whole damn thing over and rule ourselves?
I would start it all over.
I've been on that page too. Two notes on Thomas's point though. One is that under the 14th Amendment, which is effectively the establishment of the inorganic constitution, we don't have the right to question the public debt effectively. And the other one would be in which case we don't have to abide by, if we're not under the organic constitution, we don't have to abide, I believe it's Article 3 that talks about not being allowed to arrest or hold any elected officials while they're in the seat of government, i.e. that's foreign land that you were talking about. We don't have to obey that constitution if we're not under it, right?
It's no effect. The American Republic that was under the Constitution was vacated when Congress adjourned Synodia, and the evidence of that is look what happened since 1861. Has any thing moved towards constitutionality, or have we moved away from constitutionality? I mean, anybody that objectively looks at, it's been a slow, because if the American people had woken up to this reality back in 1861, if they knew really understood what happened because of then you had the Pony Express. You didn't have the internet. But if they really understood what was going on, they would have never stood for it. And the oligarchy knows that. They're not stupid.
Right. We're not sheeple. We're the frogs in the pot of cold water with the temperature being turned up slowly.
Yes,
right.
And it's been turned up for 154 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, incrementalization in
mm-hmm.
increments. They get through these things in increments. It's like, okay, well, obviously right now, you know, this won't pass in the American agenda, so we'll pass this instead. Well, this right now won't fly in the American agenda, so we'll pass this instead. And they just
uh-huh.
they just slowly degrade our rights. And they've been doing it for so damn long that, you know, when you start looking at this, and you start looking at all the things they did, they're freaking genius. And obviously looking at this for the long term, and they really have gotten what they ultimately wanted, which is pretty much ultimate power and control. I mean, the next thing obviously is they're going to convert to one world currency, one world government, and they're going to take away our gun rights. I mean, we can see all that happening, right?
Yeah. Well, see the last person in my family on my paternal side that lived in a free republic was my great-great-grandfather. My grandfather died when he was 92. So, but his father, I'm not sure if his father was born. It's been a while since I did my genealogy. But but definitely his grandfather lived in a free republic. But I don't know about everybody else. It depends on, you know, your genealogy and how long your grandparents lived and so on, and which ancestor you did. But the last person who lived in a free America was born and lived through the Civil War. Okay? So it has not existed. We have incrementally lost our liberty piece by piece since then. And as far as the rights in the Bill of Rights are concerned, those are natural rights. Every single one of them. The Bill of Rights doesn't grant a single thing to us. It tells government to keep their hands off. And when Congress adjourned Senadea and the Constitution was set aside, well, the government no longer felt compelled. Now, they had to take into account the sensibilities of the people of the time, and they had to slowly educate out our knowledge of our rights. And then they got us to the point now where we've got a bunch of people that are so ignorant, they don't even know what a right is, much less what rights they have.
We get more rights from the Declaration of Independence than we do from the Bill of Rights.
Well, yeah, because that establishes that we were founded under natural law. And under natural law, we have the right to feed ourselves. We have the right to clothe ourselves. We have the right to gather food and to hunt and fish so that we can feed ourselves and our family. We have the right to pursue happiness.
But the Declaration is only a letter of intent to the previous owner of the lands we occupy. I mean, declaration. It's not the law. It was if you don't do this, we're going to do this. I do have an observation real quick about the irony of your statement about the last generation of your family or any of our families, most of our families, living in a free America. The irony is that the free America that they lived in was one that had not abolished slavery for the most part.
Nope, they didn't.
And
they did not abolish slavery. Women did not have the right to vote. There was, in 1861, there were 34 states. So there wasn't 50. As a matter of fact, I contend there were 33 states because they had a little problem with the state of Ohio. And the last time they tried to fix that, and it's in the congressional record, was on August 27th, I believe, 1953. I don't have my computer in front of me. I should look it up. But it was House Joint Resolution 121.
1953. And it's in the congressional record. So Ohio had a border dispute on the Miami River in 1803. And so they never really got around to actually finalizing the statehood of Ohio. And they keep trying to fix it, but they keep screwing it up with ex post facto law. But I contend that everything that they do since 1861 is done illegally because we don't have a lawfully constituted Congress. So now as far as the Declaration is concerned, that wasn't a letter of intent. That was an in-your-face declaration to the King of Great Britain that we were kicking his butt. We were dissolving the bond, the political bands that connected us with the mother country. That is not a letter of intent. That is the intent. And not only that, but they declare in that document that we are founded and that we are declaring ourselves independent under the laws of nature and nature's God. That's in the first paragraph. Talks about our rights in the second paragraph. And what happens when our natural rights are attacked by government?
Are you guys
we have a right to revolution.
With, I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Oh, go ahead, Lynn.
So have you guys heard of the Seska V Act of 1666?
Oh, you mean the Vatican?
No. Basically, I guess it was an act put forth by the king at the time, I guess in Britain or wherever, and I'm not very knowledgeable on the subject right now. I'm just kind of dabbling into it. But essentially, everything, because there was a treaty with the world or whatever, that basically the Pope owned the world and that all property would go to the Pope upon people dying, you know, it would all end up going to the Vatican, which is how they became so phenomenally wealthy and owned everything and whatever. Well, the king was trying to basically stop that from happening, so they put an act in 1666, which basically said that when people went off to fight the Crusades, the king could then compensate all their land and their belongings under this act and basically keep it for them in a trust, and it never has to go back to the Pope, because it's in this trust, and the trust can keep going from person to person to person to person. And so supposedly that's how they're getting away with all the trust law that they're doing here in the United States under the same principle that essentially everything's been put into trust to escape going back to the Vatican. But that indeed they're – a lot of people still, or countries still, you know, look at him as the ruler of the world. I don't know if any of that's true. Well, I know the Act of 1666 is true. But if so, and that makes a lot of sense why, well, and somehow the England, of course, the Queen of England's involved. I guess the IRS money goes all to the Queen of England or something like that. It goes to the crown. Yeah. So what we're being raped and pillaged in America, and we don't even know it. The Bar Association is British, and
foreign agents. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's under British law, and that whole thing's under British law. That's how they're doing the whole robbing people blind in their with their social securities and their houses and their mortgages and everything. They're putting everything into trust and doing back deals with that, 1031 exchanges and 1091.
Basically they look at us as sharecroppers.
Yeah.
If you want to go back to
sharecroppers is a good description.
Yeah.
Right.
We're sharecroppers. We're not free men. We don't own the land that we're sitting on.
Although we're given the illusion that we are by paying a mortgage that makes people fabulously wealthy, but we are sharecroppers. Yeah. So.
So what's the solution to this? Like, okay, if truly the world is set up to belong to the Vatican, the three points that we know about, Vatican, D.C., and the Crown, whatever, then how do you get around that? How do you recreate something new? Would they ever even allow that to happen?
Well first of all,
no.
The Pope controlling the world, well, the Roman Catholics may believe that. I'm sure there's a lot of other people that are going to contest that belief vociferously, such as the Buddhists and the Hindus and in India and the Taos and all of the other religions of the world. And the Christians, most Christian denominations today, I believe, are still offshoots of the Roman Catholic Church. And Pope Francis is trying his level best to get them all back in one big happy family again. But the Protestant movement all branched off the Roman Catholic Church. And so, I mean, they still celebrate Easter, and they still celebrate Christ Mass at the time of the Festival of Saturn. And they still incorporate all of the pagan rituals of the Roman Catholic Church and call them Christian holidays, when they have no basis in Christianity whatsoever. In the Bible, they're not even, I mean, Easter is mentioned, I believe, in the Bible, but then again, is it mentioned in all of the versions that have occurred since the Middle Ages?
Not in the Christian sense. It's mentioned in reference to the Romans practicing the rituals of Astarte, after which it's named, but no, Easter, no, is not. It's not
an
observance that Jesus would have kept. Let's put it like
right.
that. It's a purely
also,
Roman Catholic construct in order to proselytize not so willing native peoples or peoples of other beliefs into the Roman Catholic political element that it really was, in fact.
Okay, now, to get to the question that she asked, what can we do about all of this fictional corporate paperwork crap that's coming from the pontiff and all of these oligarchs? Well, in natural law, there's a pecking order. There's at the very pinnacle of power and authority, there is the creator. Okay? And then below the creator is the creation, and we are sovereign in our own right. We have authority as the people in our own self, in our own person. And when we come together in society, when individuals come together in society, and for the purpose of defending or the common defense of our individual natural rights, then we decide who or if we delegate any authority to anyone else. And we also have, under natural law, a right to withdraw that consent and that authority at any time we deem proper. So, since America in 1776 was declared independent under the laws of nature, okay, the people therefore took the place of the King of Great Britain. Because up until that time, we were living under a monarchy. And the pecking order there was the creator, the king, and then all of the vassal subjects of the king below that. Well, that changed when we declared our declaration. I'm not saying that's how it turned up in the Treaty of Paris or some of the other sellouts later on, but in the Declaration of Independence, America was declared independent under the laws of nature and nature's God. And as such, the authority of either obeying and consenting to rule or not
is devolved upon the people themselves. And so we can quite simply come together as community or individually and say, no, 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 I do not consent. I do not consent. I am a natural man, and that does not apply to me. I do not give my consent. I will not contract with you. I will not abide by your laws and your rules, and I don't give you any authority from my person to rule over me or to guide me in any manner, shape, or form. We have a right to say no, to withdraw our consent and tell them to go fly a kite or something less clean.
Yeah.
And following the me generation in the time of the iPods walking around that ends up sounding a lot like anarchy to me. I am looking quickly at the Sestwick Coe V Act of 1666 here, and it seems to speak about recovery, since it does speak of lords of manors and those to whom they've granted or leased properties to, having left and moved across the seas. They're only talking about lands in continental Europe, or maybe England as well, but they're talking about recovering lands that have been absented by their inhabitants who have gone across the sea. They're not talking about the lands across the sea.
However, they've brought maritime law. That's when water is involved, and they've brought maritime law here into the United States of America. And on the land, and the way they've done it, the way you can tell, first of all, is the yellow fringe on the flags and all the courts.
Right, Admiralty, yeah.
Yeah, and also the fact that usually there's a glass of water in the courtroom, and I don't understand exactly all the implications, but it's all symbology, it's all about water, it's all keeping it maritime law. But if you present yourself, like I was talking to a gentleman, he said, what you do is you actually go before the magistrate or the court or whatever, and you say, I'm here to collapse the Sestwick Trust in my name. And it freaks them out, because the thing about it is they've got everything set up in these trust accounts in our name, in our social security numbers, and that's how they're charging us, and that's how they're getting warrants on us, and they can't do anything to us unless we consent. And the problem is everybody thinks they have to. You know, one of the things I've always morally objected to is taking plea agreements, but I've done it before. We all have, right? We go in, we have a 4-point speeding violation. You know, the DA comes out and says, you know what, I'm going to give you a 2-point failure or improper signal or something like that, and it'll cut down the fee to this, and it'll cut down the points to this. You know, do you agree? Do you consent to this? And you have that choice, or you can go to trial, but then you end up losing a trial. So most people, what do? They sign it and they consent. Well, you've just signed your name to a lie, and you knew.
They make you think you're going to lose in court. You haven't lost anything at that point. You're just told by these liars and these frauds that if you don't plead guilty, it's going to go a lot worse for you if they have to go through the expense of having a trial.
Right.
Again, the reason I started out my show with the Act of 1861, what they did is that the admiralty jurisdictions on the land right now, and it's all part of the corporatism and the military law that started with Abraham Lincoln. Most of this, the United States Code and the Uniform Commercial Code, are both offshoots of the Lever Code. It all started in the Civil War.
it just morphed and it continued to. It's like an octopus. It starts in the District of Columbia, and the legs just grow out and reached out in tentacles to the whole land.
Yeah.
We need to kill that octopus.
Yeah.
And we need to cut off every one of those tentacles that reaches into our city hall and our county government. We need to get Inglia out of our country. And that's being implemented in our local governments, not in the federal government. It's being implemented by the United Nations through ICLEI in our local governments. So we need to take back our local governments by saying no to Washington, saying no to corporatism, demanding that we go back to natural law and put officers in that are loyal to the Constitution, the organic Constitution of the state and of the federal. If we go back to federal, I am in agreement with you. It has obviously failed. The anti-federalists had a very valid point, and many of those points have been shown to be true. So we need to reserve the right to go back to the Declaration of Independence and start over and do it right. I mean, we certainly can't do any worse than we are right now.
Right, right. But, of course, it would have to be... I've heard people argue, defend, not amend, you know, defend the organic original Constitution, don't amend it, because the powers that be and the lobbyists and everything else are so powerful that they would get into an Article 5 convention and just take over, and we would have new founding fathers and new principles, and the whole thing would just be... wreak havoc on society. I mean, we think we have it bad now, and I agree.
I absolutely agree on that.
So what
yeah,
are they going to amend, though? Are they going to amend the corporate monstrosity that exists today, or are they going to amend the organic constitution that was set aside? Because if they're amending the corporate monstrosity, I really don't give a shit. As a matter of fact, I have a close friend that's trying to get the countermand amendment through. And at first I really objected, but then in March when I had my little epiphany, I withdrew my objection because they're trying to change the corporate constitution. I really don't give a shit what they do to that. They can abolish the whole damn thing and replace it with the Mickey Mouse's birthday card. I don't give a shit.
This whole thing, the constitution was all set up to form a government. And if we go back, okay, I am a Christian and I am a believer, and I don't buy into the 501c3s, and I don't buy into the holidays. I don't celebrate them. You know, I'm awake, I'm aware, I know what's going on. And you know, I'm sorry, I was going somewhere with this. I just lost my
train. Don't you hate when that happens?
Right? Yeah, I do. I actually do. I apologize. How did I enter into the sentence? I'm sorry.
Linda, you're not the only one that duck walks.
Linda, you're talking to Linda. Okay, sorry. Yes, yes, she does. Can I ask quickly if just repealing a couple of sections of the 14th would do?
Oh, no, okay. It's
invalid on its face.
Okay, I know what I was getting to. I apologize. So in the Bible, in the Book of Kings, it actually addresses when Israel wanted a king, and when the man of God went to, you know, specifically told the people, the prophet of God said, "Hey, you don't want a king. You have a king that's going to rape your daughters and steal your, you know, harvest, and your sons send them to war, and you know, a tenth of this will be theirs, and you know, you will be slaves, and this and that and the other." And the people are like, "We want a king, we want a king, we want to be like the other people." And like three times the people were warned, and they wouldn't be free. They just wanted to be ruled.
I preached that on one of my shows.
And they got Saul.
Go ahead.
My point is that God actually, in a sense, it's not true anarchy, but he promoted to living without the authority of the king and the rulership of the government like that. What he had set up, and I look at him as the ultimate in possibly knowing what to do around here, but he had set up a judicial system with judges based on you know, the Ten Commandments, on the basic laws, and people were just expected to live in a righteous manner, and if you didn't, then you could take your brother or your sister to court, and it wasn't smiled upon to do so because, you know, you could go either way for you. And that was basically it. I mean, you were just expected to live a decent life. So do we really need all these laws and regulations? I kind of favor a judicial system that's righteous.
Well, that's right. Well,
I agree.
We have courts, but there's still the problem
of
human beings.
Yes.
Men are not saints, as you've noticed. And they had issues with the judges as well. That wasn't all a perfect system. Yes, God set up a good system based upon the law. And incidentally, the judge's system only existed for the nation of Israel, not for the other nations of the earth. That was an Israeli system.
The Levitical law, the national law, Israel alone, and not for the rest of the world.
Correct. Right.
It was the law of Israel.
But if he set it up, that's my point.
No, and it was
in
a different time as well. I mean, and if you committed adultery, you forfeited your life.
And it was based on the sacrificial system at the temples,
Yes.
And the temple no longer exists, which is why the Mosaic law cannot be enforced right now.
Well, and the Jews, when you think about it, and I've tried to communicate this to some, the ones that are open to actually talking about it, but I tell them, you know, since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, you're in sin. If you haven't accepted the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, what you're doing is you're leaving yourself under the requirement of sacrifice. And if you don't have a family altar in your backyard, and if you're not offering up lambs and bullocks for the sins of your family and the sins of Israel, you know, you got a problem. Because the Torah commands you to do that, and it has not lifted that command. Maybe the rabbis have. Maybe the Talmud has come up with some excuse of why God doesn't require it anymore. But no, God commanded it. If you don't, even in the Christian Bible, it says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Right,
Jesus
was the perfect atonement for that for all sin forever.
Jews have a dilemma, because those Jews who rejected Christ, who rejected the work on the cross and rejected the blood of Christ that covers over the sin of mankind, they are left in their sin, and they have a requirement under their own religious tenets to sacrifice. Before the Ten Commandments were even put on those stones, the patriarchs built an altar and sacrificed to the Lord. That went back for as long as the recorded history is concerned. There was the blood sacrifice. And
Abel's sacrifice was more acceptable to God than Cain's.
Let me jump in before this 5 minutes of show is left up here. If blood sacrifice is required, can we do that to the people that are destroying our freedom and liberty, make them our blood sacrifices?
No, there weren't people included in the Israeli or in the Levitical sacrifices. You didn't sacrifice children or people.
No human sacrifice. No.
No
human sacrifice.
That was one of the things he was kind of down on.
Yeah. And how you deal with the people that are trying to kill you, in numbers, it tells you that you need to kill them first.
Yeah. I was just reading about that.
It was a harsher law, but if we revert to no constitution and no order, or whatever, things will be a little bit harsh, and there will be a bit of chaos. And
Liberty, Lisa, have you ever read or listened to the book of Enoch?
It's non-canonical. You will not find it in your Bible.
Okay, then probably no.
Okay, well, they have it on audio on YouTube, the full book of Enoch. Enoch was God's friend. You should really, really listen to that book. And when you listen to that, you would understand some of the things that I've said on my show and other people's shows about there's no way I believe that we were meant to just submit to slaughter to the evil, corrupt governments and things like that. Because once you've read that book or listened to that book, you'll understand that why the Catholics took it out of there is because it's totally opposite to submit all the way till death. Do whatever the governments tell you to do. At the time that this was going on, the Catholic Church wasn't even existent when Enoch wrote that book. But when, after Christ died on the cross, somewhere later in time, that's when the Catholic Church came, and they made sure that every one of those books that taught us to stand for ourselves and to be diligent in our defense was taken out of that Bible so that we would all be nice and submissive little sheep to religion. And at the time, that the Catholic Church was the boss of the world.
Well, actually, you don't even have to go to Enoch. It's actually in, I think it's in the book of Acts, where I believe it was Paul and another apostle were telling people, shall we do something that's against the conscience of God above the law? You know, no, God forbid. We're not going to do anything.
Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and the priests for holding fast the traditions of men over the word of God. His harshest words were against the religious authorities, i.e. political authorities, of his day. So, yeah. I mean, the other thing, Earl, I hate to throw this out there, but the book you know as the Bible didn't even exist until the Council of Nicaea in like 300 something AD. They didn't take it out; they just didn't include it. Before that, there was just a whole variety of writings that a whole bunch of people liked or disliked.
I still recommend that you listen to that book because there's a lot of things in there. That I'm no theologian and I can't remember everything and I'm dog tired right now. And Thomas Mick, your first show is about 1 minute to end.
Okay, Lisa?
Yeah.
Go to my blog at publius87.wordpress.com, and I wrote an article called The Word. Read that a few times. See what I'm talking about. If you don't get it, because it'll take some people a few times to read it to really get what I'm saying in there. But I really believe that God gave me that as a message to the modern followers of Jesus, because the Bible has been so perverted with all of these different versions, and as Earl pointed out, the Council of Nicaea was under the thumb of the establishment religious hierarchy. So a lot of truth did not make it into the Bible. And there is a political reason for it. Constantine became a, quote, Christian, unquote, in order to increase the power of Rome. He didn't have nothing to do with his love of God.
Neither to conquer his enemies.
All right, we're at the end of the show, guys.
Okay.
And I got to get up real early and do some more miles. So.
Oh, and you're on host.
Oops.
Okay.
Liberty Lisa, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you, Thomas.
She was part of my first and last show. What do you know?
And she's part of my first show. Okay.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Well, hopefully you're a little better than I am. Well, we can get her on once in a while instead of waiting until the last show.
Aww.
Anyhow, my beautiful wife Linda was saying hello to you in the chat room. And she's like, you go girl and all that stuff.
Yeah, tell her I said hi.
She hears you.
Okay.
All right, folks.
Place where I can be in the chat room.
Once I hang up, the show's over. So, Thomas, good luck next Sunday, brother.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for taking over here. And Liberty Lisa and Austin Thomas are the ones that you got to give them thanks because they're the ones that paid a bill for Blog Talk.
Thank you, Lisa. You still there?
Well, yeah, I'm here. Well, you know, we feel it's an important message to get out there. So keep on tuning in to Truth Emerges every night, same time every night, 6-8 p.m.
That's right.
Pacific.
All righty. God bless everybody. See you next Sunday.
Y'all. Take care.
God
be safe.
Night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.